Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Later on today's program, I'll be bringing you important news about the future of the National Alliance. But first, let's talk about race and racism, about doing the right thing in life, about why we're here on planet Earth, and why the National Alliance exists in the first place. The word racism has been turned into a synonym for evil. But if racism only means having racial feelings, a feeling of kinship with your racial brothers and sisters, a feeling of understanding and belonging, a feeling of being part of a culture, a part of something bigger than ourselves, then perhaps we need another word. That feeling of kinship, which some prefer to call racialism or racial loyalty, has no connection to the hate or persecution or enslavement that have come to be associated with the term. In fact, there's evidence that the word racism was coined specifically to demonize whites who want to continue to exist. Racial feelings are inborn in us. They are good and natural. And it is one of this century's most horrible deceptions to paint them as somehow wrong. If you want to call our normal racial feelings racism, then so be it. For the sake of argument, we'll call those feelings racism. For the moment. As long as there are races, there will be racism. It is inborn, has an evolutionary purpose and survival value, and is even present in non-human species. Racial feelings are about as likely to disappear as our sexual feelings. Actually, racism is good and necessary for the continued branching off of new types of human beings from the existing stocks. Evolution is made possible by such branching, and racial feelings are an important part of what keeps the branches apart. At some point, Homo sapiens sapiens refused to breed with the submen around him. Mallards and wood ducks can interbreed and may even do so under certain freak conditions. But the mentality of these birds, even when they live in the same territory, makes them shun the other type. The branches, once one, are now separate for all time. Most whites, even most liberal whites, instinctively choose whites as neighbors, schoolmates, and life mates. This is good and natural and really has nothing at all to do with the emotion of hate. Evolution, branching, and separation have brought about all the wonderful diversity of creation that we see around us. It is nature's way. It is God's way. And virtually all of natural history is testament to the natural preference of species, subspecies, and races to cleave to their own kind. It is only by acknowledging the wisdom of our racial feelings that the wonderful qualities of our race can be preserved. Our society once protected, admittedly in an imperfect way, the gene pool that produced Da Vinci, Aristotle, Mozart, Beethoven, and the builders of the Saturn V rocket. It does not do so any longer. The multiculturalists and multiracialists are in the ascendant in the West and promulgate a moral paradigm in which defense of our gene pool is evil, that is, racist. This, in my view, is destructive, even genocidal. We in the National Alliance take precisely the opposite view. The protection of our racial uniqueness and furtherance of our racial progress should be the fundamental purposes of our society. The racial integrity that our nations once stood for implicitly should be made explicit and enshrined as our highest law. White Americans and whites around the world are in increasing numbers beginning to see themselves again as a people with a common history and common interests and values. Whites instinctively feel a kinship that they do not feel with Semites, Africans, Asians, or Australoids. They inwardly respond to Beethoven as they cannot respond to the call from the minaret or the beat of African drums. They are inspired by the Gothic spires of Germany and Spain, the Parthenon, the Pantheon, and the Arch of Titus. But the Wailing Wall, the altars of the Incas, and the cryptic tribal art on the walls of the New York subway system, fascinating though they may be, remain alien. The fact that other races see us as one people and at times attack us as one people aids this process of rising racial consciousness. European Americans are awakening, and we are starting to take charge of our destiny once again. Such is the way that people and nations are formed. Such is the way of nature. And the screams from the ivory towers of the academic elite will not stop this process. One of the latest hysterical screams from the academic left is the claim that the white race simply does not exist, that there is no such thing and never has been. A large number of degreed whores of academe say so. But then they also think that Jackson Pollock can be taken seriously. There is a political agenda behind the "there is no such thing as the white race" malarkey, and it exposes itself every time the obvious corollary to that statement is uttered. If there is no such thing as the white race, then there is no collective responsibility for the real and imagined sins it committed against the equally imaginary African, Amerind, and other races which stand impatiently in the handout lines for what's left of the tax money after the bureaucrats have taken their cut. No more affirmative action. Races do not exist. No more Holocaust reparations. Races do not exist. No more diversity training. Races do not exist. Oh, that would never do. It is only the white race which does not and cannot exist. It cannot exist because if its existence were admitted, then the genocide which is now being practiced against it would become immediately obvious. And even a few honest liberals might pale at that and spoil the whole show. The multiracialists have painted themselves into a corner. What to do? Probably just mumble that the oppressed groups are peoples, nations, or something of that sort. And they will hope that whites never wake up from their stupor and coalesce into a people just as conscious of its interests and destiny as, say, the Jews. What a different world that would be. if it is illegitimate morally and untenable scientifically for whites to organize on the basis of a perceived common race or ethnicity, or even to claim that their race exists, then surely the same would hold true for Jews and blacks. Perhaps one day liberal true believers will wake up and discover that nothing exists. That is the end of the road for their mode of thinking. The verb to be is anathema to them. The thought that there might be an absolute reality outside themselves, a reality which is what it is, regardless of their wishes, theories, hopes, daydreams, or decrees, is as intolerable to them as it is to a 2-year-old. Believe it or not, they have even developed a language called E-prime, a version of English which eschews completely the verb to be. Liberals are very suggestible and are really the victims of, not the originators of, the race does not exist but some races must be favored swindle. It is convenient to demonize and dehumanize people that you are going to commit genocide upon. And it is easier to commit genocide when you convince your henchmen that the victims really don't exist. That is what the white race does not exist con is really all about. It is a warrant for genocide. Another lie which the academic elite rams down the throats of our children on a daily basis is that their technique of genocide, racial mixing, is really good for us because it brings hybrid vigor. Hybrid vigor refers to the exceptional growth which sometimes manifests itself when scientists cross or hybridize strains of plants or animals experimentally. Hybrid vigor signifies nothing in terms of the human genius needed to create and sustain a civilization. Where it exists, such as in corn or apple trees, it usually peters out after a few generations. A far more important concept in the crossing of human races is regression to the mean. This means that even if you mate a Negro genius with a white person, the offspring are, on average, likely to exhibit Negroid characteristics more typical of the average Negro, and not necessarily of that particular black genius. And this is even more true of succeeding generations. Regression to the mean, in the case of interbreeding with Africans, means regression to the African mean, with Asians to the Asian mean. Neither holds out promise of raising the level of the upper half of our bell curve. Rather, the opposite. The other races have mixed with Europeans, and everywhere they have, the results are, to say the least, unimpressive. They have nothing to offer us. Some advocates of racial mixing point to areas where the other races are superior to whites, blacks in athletic ability, Asians in social unity, etc. But we cannot yet select such characteristics, especially when you are talking about random interbreeding as advocated by liberals and communists. In the long run, you will get random combinations of the different characteristics, most of which will not be superior. You will get regression to the mean. For such a questionable experiment, you would destroy one of nature's creatures? Would you force bald eagles and fish eagles to mate? Lions and tigers? The European race has all the diversity it needs for health and further evolutionary development. It is a moral and environmental crime of the highest order to destroy it by breaking down all its defenses against interbreeding. The academic whores and shills who call for genocide are always prating about how we can't say for sure how much of our intelligence and our civilization is genetically determined and how much is caused by environment. They used to say that it was all environmental, but the evidence is too contrary to that, so they've given up on that score. But I say to them, even you admit that you don't know that our unmatched civilization is not the result of our genetic makeup. If it is, and you obliterate that unique genetic code, do you realize the enormity of what you have done? Whites should be allowed to re-erect their traditional barriers against mating and social contact with non-whites in order to preserve our kind. Anything else is genocide. I can hear the academic genocide justifiers coming out of their holes and whispering to our young people. There is only one race, they say, the human race. We are all one species. There is a great deal of debate on species boundaries. The question has been raised, should the races be treated as separate species or just subspecies of the same species? They certainly vary enough for subspecies classification. After all, some species of mammals differ so little that a human observer cannot tell them apart. Two species of Siberian hamsters come to mind. Among those two species, a scent, discernible only to the hamsters and laboratory instruments, is the main difference, and the means by which the female chooses a mate of the correct species. The position that there are no subspecies among men, that they do not even exist, is indeed a novel one. It would imply that the Australoid, the Capoid, and the European, each developing separately for at least 100,000 years and possessing startling physical differences, are not only the same species, but must be defined as the same subspecies. No one can scientifically defend such a thesis. I cannot speak for anyone else, but in my eyes, the European race, imperfect as it may be, is a race of light and beauty. It is the race of Shelley and Keats and Poe and Shakespeare, the race of the Parthenon and Chartres Cathedral and Stonehenge, the race of Mozart and Beethoven and Liszt and Brahms, the race of Vermeer and Raphael and Rossetti, the race of Caesar and Alexander and Washington and Jefferson, the race of Ford and Marconi and Goddard and von Braun and Shockley. And our race is threatened. Nowhere is our birth rate above replacement level. Everywhere our borders have been opened, and the new elite teaches our children that intermarriage is good and desirable. Everywhere the new elite teaches our children that to defend our genetic heritage is the very definition of evil. The end result, if trends continue, will be genocide. The end result will be death for the uniquely beautiful, intelligent, and creative people called by the name of the goddess Europa. The moral imperative of all life is to strive for the survival of one's kind. Don't let the real haters, the real killers, the real monsters trick you into believing that our race's survival is wrong or unimportant. Nothing is more important. Nothing is more right. Our survival is essential. And now that you know that, I expect each and every one of you to do the right thing. There is great progress this week as we build white community. Will Williams, the director of the National Alliance, has just been named chairman of the still existing, though moribund, National Alliance Corporation, with its headquarters in West Virginia, as well as of National Vanguard Books and the Cosmotheist Community Church. As we gain strength over the coming months, these entities will be moribund no longer. Putting personal and tactical differences aside, and seeking concord instead of lawyer-enriching conflict, Director Williams has advanced our white community immeasurably. This development is of great practical and spiritual significance, and I'll be talking more about it on these airwaves soon. Suffice it to say today that the land that Dr. Pierce purchased in the beautiful hills of West Virginia is now ours, once again under the control of those who were and are loyal to the mission that William Pierce laid out for us. The precious historical archives and records, both digital and paper, of the works and correspondence of Dr. Pierce and many others are now ours in the physical and every other sense of the word, once again under the control of men and women loyal to that mission. The record of a quarter century of my own life's work is now once again in our possession, as are the artworks and personal possessions that Dr. Pierce loved. The invaluable research and historical library, consisting of thousands of books and periodicals, many of them rare, and many of them containing notes and commentaries added by Dr. Pierce, are now once again in the service of our racial community. The clouded hills that Dr. Pierce loved are now ours to ascend once again. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. Please write to us at National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to keep on thinking free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth.